what gold is really waiting for, and I've been doing this for 20 years, what it's been waiting for is the only thing that gold really drives it, if you will, is the fear trade. You only buy gold when you're afraid. The only time you line up at a coin shop, this happened in 1980, is if you're afraid. It's like, I got to, you know, it could be FOMO too, but it's a lot of it is fear. It's like, I got to have some of that stuff. It's the only thing that's going to save me. You know, my dollars are, you know, that's not working. That's not going to work. I got to get my hands on gold. And so that, I call it the fear trade. And so we've had the fear trade in gold twice. Now, the first time was from 1971 to 1980. So what drove that fear trade was inflation, but in tandem with the economy being very weak because the U.S. was no longer, it was losing its mercantilistic edge, if you will. So from 1945 to 1970, the U.S., because after World War II, Europe was devastated, Japan was devastated, Asia was kind of non-existent. So we didn't have any competition. So when we started making stuff from 1945 to 1970, we didn't have any competition. Competition really didn't even start until like in the 1960s. And the U.S. had this huge, huge advantage over the rest of the world. So we were generating wealth. And then 1970, then, it all kind of broke. So we had two big oil rises, early 70s and late 70s. You had this inflation, basically you had uncertainty. Some people would call it an uncertainty trade, but I kind of call it a fear trade. But, and then in tandem with that, so gold went from $35 in 1971 to $850 in 1980. 35 to 850, a massive move. And gold was outperforming the stock market that whole decade. Well, and then it died, and then basically the fear trade died in the 1980s. And so you had 20 years from 1980 to 2000 where gold and silver did nothing. It was basically, there was no fear because the economy was doing well. And so I don't need any stinking gold, right? And then 2000, you had the dot-com bubble bust and you had 9/11. That ignited another uncertainty / fear trade from 2001 all the way to 2011, another 10 years. In that time, gold went from $250 to $1,900, 1935, another big, big move. And gold outperformed the stock market for 10 years. And now we've had another, so from 2009, now we had 15 years, somewhere in there, another basically where gold did nothing for the last 10 years. And because you didn't have that uncertainty trade, debt risk trade. So now we're going to get ready to have our third uncertainty / fear trade into gold. But this one is going to be the mother of all fear trades, because this time the U.S. bond market is going to break. And when the bond market breaks, that's when Eckster's pyramid kicks in. And the Eckster's pyramid, this was named after a guy named Eckster. He basically created a pyramid of assets with the highest quality at the very bottom, the inverted pyramid at the very bottom. And then higher, as you, the pyramid, the risk increases. And basically what he said was as uncertainty increases, people move down the risk assets. Well, we've never ever had to move from the very bottom, which is basically US bonds, US treasuries, and US dollars. People have always been happy in those. So they've never had to move down into that gold trade. So the gold trade, gold's about $14 trillion total, but it's only about $4 or $5 trillion for bullion and coins. So if you think of it that way, there's only about that much. And the overall economy has about $250 trillion in stocks and bonds globally. So that you got 250 versus four. So all those assets, they don't have very much, there's not a lot of room there. And so if people want to move out, and this is the reason why I'm in gold and silver, because I've always believed that the U.S. debt bubble would eventually pop, because I believe in Austrian economics, where you can't spend to prosperity, you can't borrow to prosperity. At a certain point, you know, von Mises basically said you only have two choices. You either pay off your debt or it pops. And I've always believed the debt bubble will pop. I think that's going to happen very soon, because at a certain point, your money printer breaks, because you can't just monetize everything you need, because that creates hyperinflation. So if you borrow, if the government, U.S. Treasury loans bonds out, it doesn't create inflation if the people that buy those bonds already are using money that's already in circulation. Where it creates inflation is when you print money. That's when the Fed prints money to buy the bonds. Then they're expanding money supply. And that's what they can't do. And now we already have inflation. And inflation is basically the kryptonite for MMT, the kryptonite for this idea that we can print to infinity. Right. And everybody knows you can't print to infinity, and everybody's starting to figure that out. And so when the debt bubble, I think we're close to that debt bubble popping, and that's what I think that's the reason why gold's going up. And I think that's the reason why gold is going to look like such a good asset going forward from here.
Okay. So then, I mean, there's so much stuff there, and probably for the sake of time, probably my number one question is, and this is what not keeps me up at night, but this is what's the most confusing thing to me, because I could see it going either way. At the end of the day, gold and silver stocks are stocks, right? So the S&P rolls over. Wouldn't gold and silver stocks roll over as well, in your opinion?
No, I mentioned this before. And the reason why I don't expect it to happen is because I think people will recognize that gold is not going to crash here.
Yeah,
so
okay.
The only thing that holds up gold and silver stocks is margins. If they don't have strong margins, they're not going to perform. But if gold outperforms the stock market, then you get good margins. So it's all about, for gold and silver stocks, the only thing that matters is margins. That's it. It's the only thing. I chase free cash flow.
Right. That's a good answer. I mean that good answer in the sense it makes sense why your thesis would hold up. And I'm inclined in that as well. I just see, like, I remember 2007, 2008 very, very well when everything tanked. And gold tanked very, very briefly, and then it ran like a bat out of hell. But I guess what I'm trying to say is gold stocks really tanked, and I remember because I was in it. And so I'm just wondering if we're having a 2.0 of that or not. But
yeah, I actually thought that's what we were going to see. I didn't think gold would lead here. What I thought was going to happen is that, you know, gold would not break out like it has, like Standard 2000, for instance. I thought gold was going to stay under 2000. Now there's always different, you know, possibilities, right?
Sure.
It's hard to predict the future, but one of the possibilities was gold, you know, breaking out, which it has done. But I thought the most likely outcome would be during this correction, this 3+ year correction, that gold would basically was trapped. Because of the risk on trade. Since we had the risk on trade, gold's trapped, nobody cares about gold, economy's growing, gold would be trapped. And then since it was trapped, once the stock market started selling off, I thought that the HUI would go under 200. So I thought we were going to see that type of scenario, that we were going to see stocks sell off and gold and silver miners sell off. I did think that was going to be the outcome. But in early April, I basically said, well, that's not going to happen because gold just broke out. So once gold broke out, and then when silver confirmed and silver got above 28, it actually traded above 29,